This week on the Federalist Radio Hour.
Like, there was this premise, and it was, I think, in some ways correct. But that was predicated on this idea that there were essential sort of sex differences. And now we're actually even...
Subscribe to The Federalist on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what I had today?
Tell.
For lunch? I had a pork chop, an Omaha steak pork chop for lunch.
Did you air fry it?
I air fried the crap out of it. It's so good. You have no idea how much I'm obsessed with their pork chops. I'm obsessed with their fillets. I'm obsessed with everything. And I air fry everything. Like, I could take it out on the grill, but it's so much easier for me during the middle of the day to just air fry everything. And I just eat like a complete queen because of Omaha steaks.
You should stock up because, like, right now it's 50% off site wide, their whole site. And it's so cool because now they use code chicks instead of keyword chicks, right?
Yes.
So this is my new favorite thing. Now you can just go to omahasteaks.com. You can look all around and everything is 50% off. All you do too, to get $30 additionally off of your 50% off, you use code chicks at checkout.
God,
50% off and then another $30. $30. Are you kidding me?
Another $30. That's a lot. And so, I mean, yeah. I would say those are my favorite things though. Like, I really do. I know people don't really think about pork chops, but they're so thick and so juicy and so yummy. I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed with them.
Pork chops.
Do you think about pork chops?
I think about them all the time.
They're so good, you guys. They're so good. Those and the fillets. I mean, I eat them constantly. I'm obsessed. So you need to seriously take advantage of this because that's a lot. It's 50% off was $30. That's a lot. I'm going to go buy more today. I'm buying more today.
You should. OmahaSteaks.com. Use code chicks at checkout.
I have a Southern upbringing where we went to church every Sunday, where people are nice and they really care about one another. You know, your loved one dies and they bring you casseroles. At Christmas time, we have cookie swaps. It is truly just this American dream story in South Carolina. And my dad and mom worked so hard. What did Ronald Reagan say? We are one generation away from extinction. So our children are so important because they'll be here when we take our last breath, and it's on them.
Welcome to another deep dive edition of the Chicks on the Right podcast. So, so excited to have a real life Disney princess with us in the form of Ainsley Earhart. You know her from Fox and Friends in the Morning, but now you need to know that she is an author for the third time, right? Is it more than three?
Four.
But three children's books. Yeah. That's right.
Okay. So third time children's book author, one time adult books author, not that kind of adult books, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And your latest book actually dropped. What's that?
It was a Christian book.
The
My life was how I found the Lord.
Yes.
That's my version of an adult book.
Okay. My bad. But your third children's book comes out as we are recording this. Today is the day that it comes out. And it's called I'm So Glad You Were Born. And it's a book about celebrating who you are. So we're very, very excited to have you, Ainsley, and very excited to hear how you decided to write this book, why you wrote this book. And I see that it's already number one on Amazon. So congratulations.
Yay! That's so great.
Well, we just have the best audience. They support us and they love our books. And I am so grateful. I'm pinching myself because Fox provides that platform. And I am grateful to the bosses and everyone at Fox that allows us to talk about our books and share our stories. They allowed me to, this morning we played a story of my daughter and me and just how I'm so glad she was born. And my mom had a stroke 4 years ago. And she always said this to us on our birthdays. So it's special because my mom, we just, you know, every day is precious with her. She's pretty much lost her voice. And she was diagnosed with diabetes at 39. And then insulin dependent, dialysis because kidney failure. And then she had the stroke. My poor mom has been sick more than she's been completely well throughout her life. And she just worked so hard. She was a teacher forever, 33 years. She was a mom, had food on the table for our family, took us to church every Sunday. She's an incredible person. And this is what she would say to us on our birthdays. So I'm glad that her voice, the lady who taught little children her whole life and taught us, who lost her voice because of the stroke, now has the voice. And this is her message. I'm so glad you were born. And it's being shared all over the world now. And it's the number one book. And this is my mom, you know, a lady who doesn't like to get up and speak in front of people, who is so quiet and just lets everyone else get the credit and just took it from all of us. You know, we all have big personalities and she just let us be ourselves. And she let Ainsley's spirit be Ainsley's. And you know, when we get older, we feel guilty for just putting that on our moms because they just do so much for us and we're never grateful until we're moms ourselves. And so I just want my mom's voice. I'm so excited that this is number one because, Mom, this is for you. This is your voice being spread to children all across America. And this was her calling. She loved teaching. She was devastated when she had to retire. Big decision for her. But her sister actually said, Dale, if you don't retire now, we just don't know how long you're going to have, how many good years you're going to have because diabetes and just the risks that come along with that. So I'm grateful that she did that. My dad and my mom traveled with all of their friends for 10 years and she was able to be a stay-at-home wife and mom for those 10 years before her stroke. And I'm glad she had that time, but now her voice is being shared with so many people.
I love that. You know, I love the message of, I'm so glad you were born because it's different. It's so unbelievably different than just saying happy birthday to somebody. When you say to a child, I'm so glad you were born, what it does to a kid's psyche is so powerful. And I love it. I love what you've written in this book. And I love that everybody at Fox, I saw that montage this morning and how everybody at Fox started saying that after you would say that to people over the past few years, you would say, I'm so glad you were born on people's birthdays. And then they would start saying to people, I'm so glad you were born on other people's birthdays. And it was sort of a thing that took off. And so like a phrase that took off. And so it's just a powerful phrase. And I love that you have written a book based on such a powerful phrase.
Well, thank you. We have a great team at Fox. And Sam Honig, who's one of our producers, came over to this living room and interviewed me and my daughter. And then AJ Hall, who works at Fox, he found all those videos of me over the years telling people at Fox, I'm so glad you were born, and other people at Fox using that phrase. He found the original video of Steve Ducey when it was his birthday. And I said, Steve, I am so glad you were born. And Steve and Brian, they just paused. And then Brian did that cackle like that. Ah! And I was like, how funny of a phrase that is.
Yeah.
And we all just giggled when we watched that this morning because that was the first time they had heard that. It was when I just gotten the job at Fox News, at Fox and Friends. And I said that to Steve on his birthday. And I said, I know it sounds, you know, corny and funny, but really think about that. It's the day you're born. You've influenced lives. Everyone wakes up to you in America and you've made such an impression on all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a powerful thing.
So cool. And now you've been at Fox now for what, like over 13 years, right?
Yes, 2007.
2007. Okay. And so how have you changed? How has Fox changed and how have you changed since starting in 2007?
Well, Fox has changed so much and all of that has probably been in the headlines or has been in the headlines. But really, if you could be a fly on the wall in Fox, we are such a family and we support one another. And most people have been there forever. People just don't want to leave Fox. And the ones that do, they regret it. So it's we really love each other and we've been through the ups and downs in life. Yes, my life has changed tremendously. You know, I've been divorced. I had a baby. I had a miscarriage. I was on the weekend show for 10 months while I was working overnights, while I was working for Sean Hannity's show. And I didn't get that job. And that was devastating to me. But then look what God did. He gave me Monday through Friday, Fox and Friends. So I have the weekends with my daughter. So my life has changed tremendously. I've grown up there. I was in my 20s when I got a job there. And now I'm in my 40s. So I'm late 20s and now I'm in my mid 40s. And so I went from my 20s to my mid 40s there. I mean, think about how much your life changes during those years. I've grown a lot. I've become a lot more chill, I think. I've realized what's important. I just want to have fun. I want to embrace every day of my life. I take my job very seriously, and I also just don't want to take life too seriously. Even though I do take my job seriously, I know that people wake up with us every single morning. They get the news from us. It's what they talk about in the office. It's what they talk about at the kitchen table. And I'm so grateful that I am one of the few women in network television that gets to wake up America. And I just can't believe it. I mean, God is so good to me. I grew up in South Carolina and wanted to be on, I would watch the Oscars and just cry. I wanted to be in Hollywood. I wanted to be in New York City. And I used to ask God, God, you know, I trust you, but why did you raise me in South Carolina? And now I'm so grateful. I have a Southern upbringing where we went to church every Sunday, where people are nice and they really care about one another. You know, your loved one dies and they bring you casseroles at Christmas time, we have cookie swaps. It is truly just this American dream story in South Carolina. And my dad and mom worked so hard. And then all my dreams came true. I ended up in New York City, but at a network where I can talk about God, living, you know, this dream that I had as a child. So it's like God just telling me, Ainsley, why did you go through those years when you didn't trust me? Because I had your back the whole time. I created you. I wanted you to be born into a family in South Carolina. And I saw the future. No one else does. And I knew you were going to make it to New York. So just trust me. So with now that I've met all these dreams have come true for me and I have put all of my trust in God, it doesn't really matter what happens in the future because I know I'll be in His will. And so I've learned over the years and to just know His timing is not my timing. We had a Bible study when that lasted years. I'm in a new Bible study now, fairly new, but we had a Bible study with all these women in television that would meet in my apartment. And we've all moved and gone on to have children and our lives have changed. But we used to pray. I prayed for 7 years that God would make me something special at Fox and give me a bigger role at Fox. And all the girls in my Bible study would pray every week we would meet and we would just pray, Ainsley, please let's get Ainsley off these overnights. And I loved my job, but I wanted a bigger role. And it took 7 years. And what's interesting, like that's the godly number, 7. God just said, wait on me and I will put you where I want you to be, but you just have to trust me and your time, my timing is not yours. So Ainsley, just sit back. And I've learned to do that over the years because I know eventually he'll give me the desires of my heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he always does, right?
He does.
And so like how, you know, just seeing you as, well, a children's book writer, I'm assuming that motherhood played a huge role in that, obviously, because, you know, most people who write children's books, they have, you know, most of them have children themselves. And so Hayden, I would imagine, has been a huge influence in you writing those books. And so tell us a little bit about that. And how motherhood has changed you. Because I know for me, like, that's a huge part of who I am. And I know for Miriam, it's the same way, especially what we do in our activism and everything. That's mm-hmm. such a huge part of why we do what we do. And I'm sure it is the same for you.
Right. Well, when you read the recent polls, one last week said, what is most important to you when you go to the polls in November? And the top issue was inflation or the economy. The second one was our democracy. And we think, what did Ronald Reagan say? We are one generation away from extinction. So yes, our children are so important because they'll be here when we take our last breath. And it's on them to take care of our democracy or the republic. And so when I am raising my daughter, I just want her to be good. I want her to be a hard worker. I want her to put God first. I want her to treat people the way she wants to be treated. And I want to leave her so that she can make this world a better place. Even if it's being a trash collector or a mother mm-hmm. or a wife or a big job, I don't know what she'll be, but whatever it is, I want her to work as hard as she can to help change this country for the better. And to influence this country. And that's why these children, when they read this book, I want them to know that we are glad they were born because we're leaving this planet, this world, this earth, and the United States of America to them. So they are extremely important. You know, we're a new country. And if you go to Italy or you go to anywhere in Europe, you'll see the architecture, just the history. And you realize, gosh, we are such a new country. We have got to work really hard to make sure we stay free because, you know, we've only been around for what, 250 years. And we're reminded of that when we travel.
Does she get that you're famous?
You're sweet. I don't feel that I am. I say I'm a Z-list celebrity because, you know, I'm in news and I'm like a mom and I, you know, I worry about, we were talking during the break. I worry, you know, I look at my eyes and I'm like, gosh, they're old. I'm feeling my age. I'm like, I do not feel like a celebrity. The other day I was in the airport. I was going to cover the Queen's funeral. And Cameron Diaz was right behind me. And I had just gotten my passport checked and I walked to security and she's right behind me and she's getting her passport checked. The lady in front of me turns around, I'm like, do you see who that is? And she had an English accent and she's like, yes, oh my word, I'm carrying my baby. I'm going to ask her for a picture. And I just acted like I didn't know who she was because I didn't want to bother her. But I was writing some of my friends and they're like, you have to take a picture. You have to say hi. I'm like, no, I'm not bothering her. Like she is a celebrity. You know, when the girl in front of me has an accent and she's from another country and she knows what this is, I'm like, this is like a real celebrity. This is Cameron Diaz. So I sent to her in like the Delta Lounge area. And yeah, she ordered the same things we would have ordered. For her daughter, she ordered pasta with butter.
Mine would have been.
Chicken pie art for her, which is what we love. Uh-huh. And her husband ordered tuna. I'm like, it's like that.
They're just like magazine. Us.
They're just like us.
Us magazine. They eat hamburgers too.
Oh my gosh. I'm like
giddy inside. I'm like, I feel like I'm 5 years old again. And I just saw, and I love Cameron Diaz and she looked just as beautiful in person as she does in all the movies. Yeah.
I bet she probably knew who you were.
No, I don't think so. I'm sure she does not watch Fox, but she could not have been nicer. And I asked the staff when she left, the people who were working there and serving food and drinks, I said, did she give you a tip? And they said, yes, she did. She could not.
Oh, good.
Yeah. That's good. You guys. Yeah. Cause that would have been really disappointing, especially when you like a celebrity and then you find out that they don't tip.
Ugh, right.
That's a total, total.
And you don't really have to tip in those lounges, but, I was really nice. I mean, I always do. And I was proud of her for doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
She just had a nanny with her, which I would have thought she would travel with like an entourage and a private plane. You know?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
She did. Wow. One time in line, her trench coat was touching my back. Like everything has this trench coat is touching my back.
You have arrived.
I know, right?
I'm never sending this, my clothes to the driver.
But see, you have to understand, Ainsley, that there are people who will be watching this podcast who will be like, oh my gosh, if they are near you in line, you know, like on a flight, they'll be like, oh my gosh, my trench coat touched Ainsley. Like I can't, I cannot deal. Like this is the thing, because you actually are a celebrity to so many people. So that's why Miriam asked the question, because, you know, your daughter, at some point she's going to realize that mommy's on TV. And like, I'm sure she'll be like, wait, has she made the connection that you're there? Like on this,
she told people the first week of school, my mama works for Fox.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you go to school in New York City. I don't know if you should tell people that, but
yeah,
she does go to a Christian school. So,
okay. Well then that helps.
I'm so glad you got into this Christian school because, now I can walk down the halls and it's not a reflection on my daughter. You know, they're
that's
not going to retaliate. Yes.
That's true.
She comes home with pictures of God and Bible verses on pages that she's received in religion and she's colored Jesus. So
That's fantastic. Because I know Miriam and I have experienced, because both of our kids have been in public school and just doing what we do. It's always been kind of like oh my gosh, if the teachers find out, they could retaliate against our kids. And so we understand that sense of angst, because you just never know when there's going to be an adult that retaliates against your kid because you do what you do. Right. And we're not famous like you, but I mean, it's just, but we do activism in a sense. Right. So, right. I mean, there's always that worry nowadays, which we shouldn't even have that worry in this day and age. We shouldn't have that worry in the United States of America. We should just be able to say and do what we want to do. But unfortunately, as you well know, conservatives are somewhat discriminated against in this day and age. And it's a scary thing that's happening.
Well, I think people need to realize a lot of people keep their mouth shut because they're labeled racist or whatever the label is, if you're a Republican or if you're conservative. And they need to realize 50% of the country feels that way.
Yes, ma'am.
We are not racist. We love everybody. Everyone is God's child. But they need to realize a lot of people in their classrooms, a lot of those children have moms and dads that are conservative and they just don't wear it on their sleeve because they're scared of retaliation. And it shouldn't be that way. But these teachers have to know they're not, it's not just their world. You know, we are all different and we have different beliefs.
Not everybody can have Ainsley Earhart's Disney princess skin. We get this. Not everybody can.
But you can try. You can try. You can get close.
You can get close if you use GenuSol products. This is the skincare line we have been using and loving for years. Uh-huh. And we're so grateful that they sponsor the Chicks on the Right podcast. Right now, they are giving our listeners 60% off their most popular packages. And then no matter what package you choose, they're going to just throw right in there their brand new hyaluronic acid serum as a free gift. So hurry up. Get yourself some close to Ainsley skin by going to GenuCell.com/chicks and then use code chicks and you're going to get your favorite package. You're going to get your hyaluronic acid serum as your free gift. Do it today. Let me ask you something, Ainsley, if you just switching gears really fast, because there was a huge moment for you a few years ago where you had an opportunity and maybe more than once, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember the time that you sat down for an interview with President Trump. What was your prep like for that? And like, how nervous were you or not nervous? Because I know you're an old pro at this, but like, was that? That's a big deal. And so what was that like getting ready for it? How did you think of the questions? Did you have help with that? Was that totally on you? Tell us about that.
So usually for prep, I'll ask my team to help me as well. So I will ask them, I'll ask Brian and Steve suggestions. Like, what issues do you think are most important that I need to talk to the president about? I'll write those down. I'll ask the bosses, what issues do you think? Is there one question that you would love for him to answer? And I'll write that down. Everyone preps differently. Some people like to do it on their own, so it's all them. But I like it to be a family and I want us all to, I need ideas. And then I will sit down by myself and create all of my questions and have them all. And then I rewrite and rewrite and rewrite. If you watch me on the show in the morning, I put everything on a manila folder and I put all my notes inside the manila folder, but I'll write down, let's say like this morning, the ABC Washington Post poll of what's most important to our voters. And they happen to be Republican issues. So I think Republicans are going to do well in the midterm. So I'll explain that in my notes. Then I might write, I don't know, Hunter Biden, and then whatever notes I have about Hunter Biden. And then on the right-hand corner of the manila folder, I'll write border security and apprehensions and the numbers. And then the next underneath that, crime. And I'll write Philadelphia, New York City, California, LA, whatever the crime issues are. The border is a big issue. I'll write all that on my outside of my manila folder. And then I write my notes so that way when I'm on the show and we're ad-libbing about any of these issues, I can just look down. And if Steve said something, I won't say that. If Brian said it, I won't say that. And then my third talking point or point about that issue, then I'll say that. And so that's how I do
it.
Brian types all of his out. Steve types all of his out. Brian does it all and staples it, which I don't like because I'd have to like flip through and find things. It all looks like me, but that's his method. Steve types out a page for each subject. So if it's border, he has a whole page. If it, whatever it is, he has the whole page. So then he pulls out that page. We all just do it differently, but you know, we're creatures of habit. And that's how I studied growing up. I would redo all of my homework for math that we had over the whole course of whatever we were being tested on. And I'd redo all my homework problems. And then I was prepared for the test. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a prepper. Some people like Sean Hannity, natural. I mean, it's all up here. He's been doing it for so long and God created him to definitely do radio. I mean, he can talk for hours and hours and hours and throw out statistics. I'll say, Sean, tell me about tell me about the Cold War. And he tells me everything. Sean, tell me about Margaret Thatcher. He quotes her. Sean, tell me about Churchill and da 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 da. And he was the prime minister the second time around when Queen Elizabeth became the queen, when she was in her coronation, he was the prime minister in his second. I'm like, how do you know all of this? You know, I'll back and So everyone does it differently, but I have to really study and prep. So when I am before the president of the United States, I'm like, okay, with Trump would call in on our show for years. So he was already in the Fox family, and then he decided to run for office. And so then we were interviewing him, but I felt like I had spent so much time with him at our studio that I knew him. So sitting down with him was much easier than it might have been with someone, you know, in my early years. I'm not really intimidated as long as I'm prepared.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So would you say that that was one of your favorite interviews, or do you have other ones that you would say would be like what are your top three? Like maybe.
Well, anytime you sit down with a sitting president, that
obviously,
is, or a former big president. One. Yes.
Right.
Like, I remember when, Snow, what was his first name? He was the press secretary. Everyone loved him. He died. He was the press secretary.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh. Why
I'm spacing on his first name, too. Was it Tony?
Tony Snow.
Tony Snow.
I never worked with him because he left Fox before I got there. But, I mean, I've never heard a bad word about him. And he died, and I was anchoring the weekend show, Fox and Friends Weekend. And President Bush, 41, and his wife, they called into the studio that morning and said, "We are in bed. We're watching Fox and Friends, and we just heard the news from you all, and we wanted to honor him because we loved him and he worked for us."
Oh my gosh.
So I was like, oh my gosh, we are on TV and the President of the United States is getting the news from us. What a cool job we have.
Wow. That is so cool. Yeah. Right.
When you're looking at the camera, for y'all too, when y'all are there at the microphone, you don't realize how many people are listening to you or watching you. You just are talking. You know, you've got a microphone. That's how we are. I'm just talking to Steve and Brian every day. And then you look at the numbers and the ratings, you're like, gosh, millions of people are watching us. Like, and I think about the Carolina Stadium where I went to school, South Carolina. I'm like, probably holds what, 50,000, 60,000 people?
Yeah.
Okay. Multiply that by how many, and you get 2 million people that watch us. And I'm like, if I had to stand in front of a stadium full of 2 million people, I would just freeze. So, like when you're in the studio, you don't see your audience.
Right.
Even though you're there and you appreciate them, it makes it easier.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a really interesting way to look at it. Because when we did local radio in Indianapolis for 7-8 years. Yes. And I used to think about that too. I'd be like, you know, you don't think about your audience, and I'd probably freak out too if we had to be in an auditorium with these people. But then when you're not, it's like you do speak freely. And that is such a cool thing. It's a really cool thing about the Bushes. I love that story. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you get to South Carolina much now? Is your mom still there?
My mom is still there. So when my mom had the stroke, Dad called us and said, "I found your mom wedged between the bed and the nightstand, her head." So we all immediately, I found out at 4 a.m. I was about to go on air. I did the show that day and then immediately got on a plane and we all rushed down there, and she was just black and blue. She had tubes everywhere. And they had flown, thankfully, by the grace of God, the only doctor that could perform the surgery to get the blood clot out of her head was on call that night at the trauma hospital. The ambulance took her to this one hospital in South Carolina, and he happened to be on call, saved her life. And it was touch and go for a long time. But then we got her in a facility, and no one wanted to take her because she's in her 70s. At this point, I think she was 68. She had diabetes, kidney failure. She was about to go on dialysis, and this actually led to her dialysis. So no one really, they didn't. It's sad, but they don't want to give the beds to people who probably aren't going to make it, because there might be a 25-year-old that definitely has a better shot. And I understand that. We weren't angry. We just were pushing to get her in. So we hired this lady, and I didn't even know this was out there, but you can hire these ladies that are basically advocates for you, and expensive, but I was like, I'll pay it. I don't care. Let's get my mom in a treatment facility. We can't just let her die because there's no bed. We have to find. So this lady we hired, she's an advocate, and she got her in this facility in Charlotte. And that place, Dr. Raj was her doctor, and we still keep in touch with him and do Christmas cards. And he was wonderful. And we had a friend in Charlotte, North Carolina, who said, "We have an empty house. We're about to sell it, but y'all live there while your mom's in treatment."
So oh my gosh.
Yeah. And her sister lives in Rock Hill, which is close by. So my sister and I, sister lives in Charleston. She would drive 3 or 4 hours to Charlotte every weekend. I would fly down every weekend with my daughter, and we were there every weekend in that house. And we we were about to kill each other, but we were also laughing and having fun and eating burgers and, you know, drinking beer. And we were just like a family, and it brought us together. But then she got out of that facility. We brought her home, and it was hard work. So every weekend for the first year, I went home. Second year, my sister and I switched off, and my brother couldn't really, he helped as much as he could by visiting, and he has little children, but he has a big time, full-time job, you know, during the week and during the day, and he's the boss and everything rides on him. So my sister and I just kind of picked up the slack, and I would get off work early in the morning on Friday and just take a flight. So, and Elise and I were able to bathe her and do all the things that daughters can do. And we got through that. And then, oh my gosh, Sean Hannity, who was just like, I love him. Our family loves him. He just said, y'all are about to kill each other and your dad is about to lose it. So we had, and I had hired some nurses and I was helping dad with that. But he said, Ainsley, God, like, put me on this earth to bless other people. And I want to help you with these nurses. And so he hired a nurse full time. And
oh my gosh.
Yes. And pays taxes and all of that on her. And then recently my dad was sleeping on the sofa next to my mom because we made the downstairs an apartment for my mom, the bottom floor, because she can't go up the stairs. And dad was sleeping, letting Maggie go at night, three nights a week. And I said, Dad, you're sleeping on the sofa. You're getting up every few hours to give mom her insulin. You're trying to, he works a little bit too. And we just said, this is not a quality of life for either one of you. And Sean said, I want to hire another nurse. So he hired two nurses for my mom.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. He's just a saint. He's the most generous person. Anyone at Fox will tell you that. People.
And you guys are doing an event soon together, right? In Florida?
Yes, we're going to Ponte Vedra this Sunday.
Okay. And,
our thoughts and prayers are with everyone down there because the storm is hitting.
Right.
We'll go on, but you know, the priority is to make sure everyone's safe down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I know that not everybody can look like Ainsley Earhart, but I guarantee you one of the things that she does right is that she sleeps well. She gets mm-hmm. her normal like 8 to 10 hours of sleep a night.
Yeah, yeah.
And the only way I know I can do that is if I am sleeping on MyPillow products, especially MyPillow sheets, which are just this like perfect material, right? Like the
You call them fabric. Slickery. You say slickery. They're like slickery, which I don't really know what that
is. No, they're not too slickery.
They're not too slickery. That's right. So they're just the right amount of like slick, but soft. They're right. Amazing.
They're
right.
Like smooth, like they're smooth, but not slickery and right. Not slippery. You know right. What I mean?
I do know what you mean. We're confusing the hell out of people, but I do know what you mean. I do.
Well, I'm just saying there is nothing better to sleep on than their dream sheets. And you can get them still on massive discount. I don't know how long this is going to last. So I'm just saying, don't wait, because I don't know when this sale is going to be over. But like, for example, if you want a queen set, instead of paying $90, which is the normal price for a queen set of their dream sheets, now it's under 40. It's like $39.98.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really, really good. So just go to mypillow.com/chicks, use code chicks, and you're going to get huge, huge discounts, not just on the sheets, but you're also going to get buy one, get one offers on a lot of their other products, like their pillows, their towels, so many other things. mypillow.com/chicks. Well, we've kept you a long time and we could spend like the next 3 hours talking to you, but I'm sure you've got other things going on. So we would love to visit you sometime in studio. If you would have us back, we would love to see you again.
We absolutely would.
Promoting the book. It's called I'm So Glad You Were Born. And if you want a signed copy, you can go to ainsleybook.com. Dwayne Ward with Premier Speakers does that for everyone at Fox, and he's awesome. So we sold almost 2,000 copies yesterday on the signed.
So great.
The signed book.
Is your hand tired?
My hand is tired. I signed every single one of them. And I'll sign more because I'm just so grateful. But it's great for the holidays, for Christmas, for your goddaughter, your niece, your nephew, your child, your grandchild. It's just, and you know what's cool about this? I hope the message of I'm so glad you were born is something that people will say now.
Yeah.
I hope
yes.
I'm going to say it.
I do. I love it. I love it.
I saw it on greeting cards at a store here in Manhattan.
Really?
I bought all of them.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. It needs to catch on because I really mean it. I mean it when I say that really, it's so much more impactful to say that to a child than it is just happy birthday. I mean, it's just, I love it so much. And you're just a joy to have. And we're very, very grateful to have talked to you today. Thank you so much, Ainsley.
I'm so grateful that you're talking about this story and it's my mom's voice. So thank you.
Yeah. And we're glad you were born.
I'm glad you were born. I'm so glad because you're changing this world for the better. Keep it up.
Well, Ryan,
thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, thanks. Love y'all.
Bye.
Thank you.
All right, Valen. Valen, are we good? Okay, Ainsley, thank you so much.
Do it again.
We got to do it all over again because she didn't hit record.
That's really funny.
Okay, you know, I'm heading to Beaufort in a couple years. We're moving to the Beaufort area. So I'm a big South Carolina fan. Looking forward to getting away from winter.
Yes.
How did you choose Beaufort?
We actually did a road trip one spring break from Charleston to Savannah and kind of explored everything in between and just kind of fell in love with that area and couldn't stop thinking about it.
I know. Whoever's in charge of, I mean, all of the Hilton Head area, all the signs are low to the ground. Like if there's a McDonald's, it's like a brick sign that's beautiful. It's low to the ground. It's really pretty there. I'm glad that they've preserved it.
Same. Yeah, well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. We're excited to get our hands on a copy of the book as well. So really appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Ainsley. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And let us know when you're in New York. We'll have you on the show.
Absolutely.
I'll talk to Gavin about it tomorrow.
Great. Awesome. Thank you.
Bye, ladies.
Bye.
Thanks, Valen.
This week on the Federalist Radio Hour. Like there was this premise, and it was, I think, in some ways correct, especially during the second wave of the feminist movement, that there needed to be correctives. But that was predicated on this idea that there were essential sort of sex differences. And now we're actually even... I'm Emily Jashinsky of The Federalist. Subscribe to The Federalist on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.